Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. Paul writes and he says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Thank you. You may be seated. It is irrefutable that God makes a difference in the life of the person who trusts Jesus Christ. And I want to show you from our text that Christ also makes a difference in the death that believers die. I want to answer the question why a believer in Jesus Christ who has no condemnation in the eyes of God dies like everybody else. And then I want to show you why the death of a believer is totally different from the death of a person who dies without Christ. But before we do, I've got to give you just a brief little language. It's not an exam, but an explanation. When Paul wrote this letter, he did not write it in English. He wrote it in his language of Greek. You can't read Greek. And so what's happened is some translators who can read Greek have translated his letter into the English language so that you can read what Paul wrote. Now, unfortunately, translations of the original Greek sometimes present some problems. And in these two verses that we just read, we find a problem that is recurring throughout Romans chapter 8. And I want to help eliminate the problem. In Paul's language of Greek, as he wrote, there were no capital letters. They didn't use them. Now, in our interlinears of today, sometimes there are capitals, but not in Paul's day. No capital, not even for personal pronoun names or names themselves. No capital letters. So that when Paul wrote the word Spirit in his Greek language, it was the word pneuma. We get our English word pneumonia from the Greek word for spirit. Pneumonia is a disease of the breath or the life or the spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word translated spirit in Romans 8:10 and Romans 8:11. Now the question is this, is Paul talking about the spirit within man or the Holy Spirit of God? You can't tell by capital letters because there were none in his day. You see, in English, when we speak of the Spirit of God, we use capital S. When we speak of the Spirit of man, we use a small s. Now, the King James Version in verse 10 of Romans 8, I believe, makes a mistake. They translate the Greek word pneuma with a capital S. It should be a small s, and that's the way it is in the NIV and the New American Standard. Because in verse 10, Paul is talking about the spirit of man or the soul of a man. In other words, your soul. But in verse 11, he is speaking of the Spirit of God. And it is capitalized in the King James Version and should be. You say, well, now why is that important? Well, it's very important to understand what Paul is saying. Having given you that explanation, let me show you two or three things from these verses. Number one, Paul is saying of a believer, though you will experience bodily death, the nature of your death changes. It becomes different than those without Christ. Let me show you what I mean. In verse 10, he says, "If Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive." In the Bible, there are three kinds of death. The Bible refers to these three kinds of death over and over again. First, there is death that occurs in this life. This is called spiritual death It's referred to in Ephesians and Colossians. It has the idea of someone who is bodily alive, but is spiritually dead. And that is true of anybody apart from Christ. Paul writes and he says, "You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, God hath made alive through Jesus Christ." He's not talking about a bodily death or a physical death. He's talking about being spiritually dead. God has made you spiritually alive if you know Christ. That's the first kind of death, a spiritual death. There's a second kind of death that the Bible refers to. It is a death that occurs at the end of this life. That's physical death. We all will experience that. And it's what Paul is referring to in verse 10 when he says, if Christ is in you, your body's dead. You're going to die, but your spirit is alive. There's a third kind of death. It's a death that occurs after this life. It is an eternal death. It's mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 8. It is eternal separation from God. It is a death that occurs in those who don't know Christ. They are separated from God for eternity, and the Bible calls this a death. Three kinds of death. Now, what's interesting is this. The first death, spiritual death, has been taken care of by Christ. He's made you alive. He's regenerated you. He's given you spiritual life. That's why you love him today. It's not an accident. You were born again. It's something God did. The third death you will never experience. You will never taste of this death. God will never say to you, depart from me. Why? Because he's the one who sought you. You're his bride. You will never be separated from him for eternity. You have eternal life, not eternal death. But that leads us to this second death, physical death. Why is that not taken care of? Why do we who have Christ in us die physically? Why do we do that? If there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ, why are we dying for heaven's sake? Well, let me show you a couple of things first. You and I die because of sin. This is what Paul says in verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body, your body, is dead because of sin. Romans 5:12 tells us, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You say, well, I know that, Pastor. I know that the wages of sin is death. We've already seen that. But I'm asking you a specific question. Why is it that I am free from the condemnation and guilt of sin, that my sins were borne by Christ, and I am treated by God just as if I never sinned, because I'm justified in his eyes by his grace through the work of his Son? Why do I die? You're not answering that question. Tell me, why do I physically die? I know I'm spiritually alive. I know that I will never be eternally separated from him, but why do I die? Well, good question. Let me answer it. The first thing I want you to see is this. Christ's work on your behalf transforms your death. It becomes a totally different thing to those of you who have Christ as compared to those who don't. Robert Haldane puts it like this: death for the believer is no more a punishment of sin, but the destruction of sin. It is no more the curse of the law, but it is changed into a blessing. It does not mark the end of a life, but a passage into eternal life. So that your body is dead because it's tainted with sin. But the death that you die will be different. It's a blessing. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I'm caught between a straight I'm in confusion as to what I should do. Should I go on living? If I go on living, it's for your good. But I know that if I die, it's to my gain. It's to my profit. Death has been transformed for him. It is something to be sought, not feared. It is something to be considered as a blessing, not a curse. Why? Jesus Christ has made it this for you. It's a passage into things that he has prepared for you, that he himself said, I have not seen nor ear hath heard what God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, you ought not fear it. You ought to embrace it because it's a blessing. Oh, but the person without Christ receives it as a punishment, as a curse, as a violation of the law of God. By the way, this is why believers face death in a totally different way than those who don't know Christ. You look at a person who's dying, who doesn't know Christ, he is scared. He's afraid. Because inside he knows his death to be a consequence of his sin, and there's no answer for his sin. And he dies differently than a believer. You say, Pastor, I know that. I understand that. I go to funerals. I see that. I see that in my own family. You don't have to tell me that. I know it's different for me. I'm still asking you a specific question that I don't know you're answering. Why do I still die? Why doesn't he just take me home? Why am I not just translated into heaven? Why does my body die? All right, let me be real specific for you. Your body is dead because of sin. And anywhere there's sin, there's got to be death to rid that which is tainted by sin of the sin. You were spiritually dead. That soul that was dead to God is gone. You've been made new. Now you're alive. The eternal death. Where's that? It was at Calvary. The eternal Son tasted of death in your place. It's been taken care of. Now you have eternal life, but your body is tainted with sin. It will be destroyed. But in the destruction of your body because of sin, you don't have to fear it, because there's a good thing coming. But why doesn't he just take me home? Why does he not just take me to heaven apart from death? Well, he could if he would. Let me give you a couple of reasons why he probably doesn't. Number one, impending death leads you to abhor sin. If you recognize that the reason you and I die is because of sin, death is a result of it, it leads us to abhor sin. By the way, this is natural, I believe, for all people. This is why when a person is facing death, they become very sensitive to the things that are real, to the things that are eternal. I wish some of us could get a jolt of our mortality. I believe God leaves the physical death for us to face, to give us a sense of sin and to abhor it. Impending death leads believers to humility. Young people, when you realize that you cannot avoid death, it'll humble you. There's a movie called Final Destination. It's about young people who avoid their death, but death tracks them down. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. You can't avoid it. Sometimes I think we've made a mistake taking kids away from their grandparents who are dying. I know medical technology says that we got to put them, you know, in the hospital or a nursing home. But in the old days, the kids who worked in the cotton fields and in the wheat fields, they'd come home and they'd stay with grandpa or grandma or with a sick brother or sick sister while mom and dad were out in the fields, and they saw death. I think we're missing something with young people today. Death is meaningless to them. And as a result, you've got a lot of kids who are full of themselves and full of pride because they don't understand there are forces outside of themselves that are at work and they can't avoid facing their Creator. Death is coming. It humbles us all. I think the Lord leaves death for us because impending death leads believers to fellowship with Christ. Why in the world would God take us out of the very thing that Jesus Christ endured for us? This is one of the reasons why Paul says we have fellowship with his suffering. If Christ died in our stead to take away eternal death, to give us spiritual life, why could we not go through physical death as he did to fellowship with him in his suffering? In fact, my encouragement to you is to realize that your death, according to God, is a day that will be better than your birth. This is what Solomon said. So that, listen to me, I don't know how clear I can make it. Death, cancer, heart disease, accidents, explosions, death is not anything for any believer to fear. Death is nothing but a passage into a life that you cannot comprehend. And as a result, you ought to look forward to that day because it is a blessing from God and not a curse. Which leads me to a second thing. Though the body decays day after day until death, the believer's soul is life. If Christ be in you, Paul says, the body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive. One of the greatest advantages of the believer is the knowledge that death is coming, but the sting of death, that is aging and dying, is taken away because of Christ's work. The freedom to love and to live life to its fullest with no regrets is only found in Christ. Let me show you what I mean. If your spirit is alive and your body is dying, you ought to live different than the person whose body is dying and spirit is dead. If your spirit is dead and you're dying, you will do everything to stop the dying. Now, I have to be careful. My wife said, you know, I hate legalism. And I avoid it as much as possible. And she was in the early service with my son. And at this very point, she said, Wade, don't be legalistic. And I don't want to be, but listen to me carefully. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. I mean, you know, I try to look nice. I try to wear a nice suit. I try to be, you know, clean shaven and at least have my hair decent. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I clutch to my body and I've got to be the best looking and the strongest, if I've got to flaunt my body and say, look at me, look at who I am, look at what I've got, and I fear the decay of the body, it's a sign my soul is dead. Now again, there's nothing wrong with making yourself look good. I'm talking about the motive of the heart. And all you got to do is go to Hollywood or be around people who don't know Christ. There are people in Hollywood who know Christ, who understand what I'm talking about. And they understand the tension here. But their motives are right. But if you get a man or you get a woman, and everything revolves around the physical, everything is about the body, why is it that way? Because the soul is dead. But you get a man whose spirit is alive by Christ, or a woman who's alive by the power of Christ. Their soul is alive. There are things, young people, more important than the way you look. And that's why when people were walking into church, they young people, man, it's good to see the kids and shake their hands and to tell them I love them and to thank them for being here. Why is it good to see those kids? Because they are learning that there's something more important than the body. It's the soul. We're all getting older. But our spirit is alive. And though the outward man decays day after day, the inward man is renewed. I want to close, though, by showing you this. Though the body dies for the reasons I've told you, impending death leads you to abhor sin, it leads you to humility, it leads you to fellowship with Christ. Though the body dies to get itself rid of sin, the Spirit of God raises the bodies of believers. This is what verse 11 says. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Now look at the next phrase. Your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Job put it like this. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. One day, the Spirit shall quicken the body. You say, how can that happen? How can that be? I'm talking about your body. How can that be? It disintegrates. Well, now, wait a minute. If God flung the universe by His word and sustains the atoms and the neutrons and the protons and the electrons of this universe by His power, can He not pull your body out of the dust? You will be raised. Quickened. By the way, this quickening, the word there in verse 11 is never used for the resurrection of the lost. Their bodies are not quickened. They are raised by their judge for punishment, condemnation, holy punishment. God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they will bear the consequences of their rebellion against God. You won't. And your body will be quickened, will be raised. And let me tell you about this body, your body, as it's raised. People always want to know, will I be as fat as I am? Will I have hair? Will I do this? That kind of, you know, listen, I don't know. I don't know. I do think there's recognition, though, because Jesus' body was recognized. I think there's recognition. It's the same body raised. But let me tell you something about this body raised. Number one, this resurrected body will be in the image of Christ, not Adam. In other words, it will not be tainted with sin. That's why it will never die. It's in the image of Christ, not Adam. It's quickened. It's alive. Number two, this resurrected body shall be a body free from pain. Did you know that affliction in the Bible is called little deaths? You will be free from affliction, free from pain, because you've got a new body that's been raised. Number three, this resurrected body shall enjoy things that are now laborious. It's sometimes hard to get up on Sunday morning and get dressed and come to church and worship God. Sometimes our minds have a tendency to wander. When we serve God and love people, sometimes it's a labor. Not in heaven. You will do things there so free from labor, it's incredible. And the joy and the pleasantness and the thrill and the happiness and the fulfillment of serving God and loving people and enjoying the new heavens and the new earth will be beyond your imagination. That's what Paul says in Romans 8, 10, and 11. And so, I began with the explosion of the Space Shuttle Columbia. And the people on that ship, however many, who knew Christ, why did they die? We all die because of sin in many different ways. But the good news is this: death to those who are in Christ is not a punishment. It is not condemnation. That's gone. It is a passage into a life that you've never dreamed of. And one of these days, that body that disintegrated shall be raised. And you won't have the same struggles that you have today, because sin has been dealt with and your new body has been quickened.